welcome to Air Olympia. This is Dee, and this is Air Olympia, an anarchist news and analysis show, bringing you all the stuff you need to know about the Olympia area so that you can bring the fire in your belly out and manifest in this corporeal little reality that we have going on here. And there's some cool stuff going on. There was a rally against dirty coal earlier today at the Capitol. We'll talk a little bit about that, and we're going to have a call and interview from Henry Noble, so stick around.
Where will lonely boots of feather let him fly to New York town? Tell me about the weather.
So we have a few events to announce before we get into the show today. There is a all known metal bands. It is a book reading with author Dan Nelson and Calvin Johnson at the Northern tonight at 7 p.m. The Olympia Chamber Orchestra is going to be playing at the Minaret Center at SPSCC. It's a $20 for students, $15 for seniors, plus a $250 service fee. And then A Big Shoe 4, celebrating Broadway musicals, is going to be tonight at 7:30 p.m. at the Washington Center. The Taj Mahal Trio is going to be playing tonight at the Capitol Theater. It's $35 all ages. That starts at 8 p.m. The Randall Boys will be playing at Traditions Cafe at 8 p.m. tonight. It is $10 to $15. The Malachi Hermit Thrushes at Christmas, Margie Pepper, and the Glow Tips will all be playing at the Mando House tonight at 8:30. This is free. Sea Average, The Tide, and Ed's Girlfriend's Club are going to be playing at the Eastside Tavern tonight at 9 p.m. And As the Devil Dances with Aka Yea is going to be playing at 4th Ave Tavern. And Lights on the Y and the Eyes are going to be at the Boyer tonight. And there's some other cool stuff going on tomorrow night that we'll read you from tomorrow night. This all comes from Olympia Power and Light, so you can go check that out in Olympia Power and Light. And then there are some other cool events that we have, and listen to this to find out about them.
Hey, all you COA listeners. We have a free event coming up that you should consider attending. This Tuesday, March 2nd, at Media Island from 7 to 9 p.m., there's going to be a presentation on mining and indigenous rights, the struggle for self-determination in Guatemala. It's going to feature Pascual Bernabe Velasquez, a Guatemalan who's been in the mining struggle for 2 decades, trying to fight for the people. You should definitely come to make it. 7 to 9 p.m., Media Island International. Free event, and if you can't make it at that time, try the 3:30 p.m. slot at Evergreen State College. It'll be in Sim 2 Building, D1105. See you there.
Author H. Michael Sweeney, author of The Professional Paranoid, Mind Control Realities, and the Fatal Rebirth series, will be speaking at the Java Flow Coffee House Sunday, February 28th at 2 p.m. Location is 207 Washington Street, right across from the Inner City Transit Center downtown. Mr. Sweeney, a privacy and security consultant, will be providing alarming updates on political control technologies, RFIDs, Verichip implants, smart dust, and a riveting discussion about the military's Total Information Awareness Office. His website is proparanoidpress.com. This event is sponsored by Media Island International. Food donations will be accepted on the behalf of the Thurston County Food Bank. For additional information, call 352-8526 or email mediaisland@gmail.com.
The Green Party of South Puget Sound is hosting a series of presentations and discussions relating to various aspects of the U.S. economy so that we may all come to a better understanding of the U.S. economy and also come up with solutions to problematic aspects of the same. Attend what you like. Each event stands alone and is absolutely free. Sponsored by the Green Party of South Puget Sound. Topic 2. The Economic Woes of Ordinary Americans. In the 1950s, economists triumphantly announced that America was, quote-unquote, classless. We were all middle class. Now we see a widening gap between the haves and the have-nots. Consider how our institutions work to reinforce the divide and whether a more just system is possible. Learn about our monetary system. On Sunday, February 28th, there will be a miniature film festival at the Mix 96 meeting room, 2 to 8 p.m. There will be parts of Zeitgeist 1 and 2, as well as Capitalism, a Love Story, parts of Capitalism, a Love Story, and all of Money as Debt 1 and 2. This will be taking place at Mix 96 Meeting Room from 2 to 8 p.m. on Sunday, February 28th. On Saturday, March 6th, there will be a community discussion of Topic 2 from 2 to 5 p.m. at the Mix 96 Meeting Room, Washington and State Street. For more information, visit the Green Party of South Puget Sound website, www.greenparty-sps.com. .net.
The very word secrecy is repugnant.
Okay, so make sure you go to all those events, but especially make sure that you go to the Michael Sweeney lecture tomorrow at 2 o'clock at the Java Flow, because that is a benefit for Media Island International. And Media Island International and KOWA need your money so that we can keep bringing you shows like this one, so that we can keep keeping you informed and inspired to do the hard work that we have to do to bring our planet further towards something that makes some kind of sense and not this big conglomeration of nonsense that we see everywhere. So, well, a little bit of good news. Olympia City Council member Joe Heyer, even though he was arrested for selling marijuana to a police informant, he is still going to be the number one choice for county treasurer. So that's awesome. And also, there was a rally today at the Capitol about getting our state off of dirty coal. And I'm just going to read the little flyer they have about it. Washington deserves a bright future. Washington has the clean energy resources to replace coal. Wind and solar power are safer, cleaner alternatives to coal. We all know that. And 20% of Washington's electricity comes from dirty coal. The TransAlta coal plant is the single largest source of global warming pollution in Washington. And the United States is one of the single largest contributors to global warming and, toxic emissions in the entire world. So if the single largest source of global warming pollution in Washington is TransAlta, which is down in Centralia, then it seems like we have an opportunity to do a whole lot about that right here in our own backyard. So get involved in Coal Free Washington. That's coalfreewashington.org to get that coal plant, that coal power plant shut down there. And so how's your week been, Johnny?
It's been all right. I can't say that I'm complaining at all. How about yours?
It's been pretty okay, doing the hard work. Everybody in the world's kind of tripping out a little bit, like always.
Yeah. The name of that town just makes my ears bleed.
What town?
Centralia.
Yeah. A lot of really funky things have gone on in Centralia. But we can do something funky in a good way down there by going down to the TransAlta coal plant and getting that thing shut down. And once again, if you want to get involved in Coal Free Washington, go to coalfreewashington.org or call 206-378-0114. Extension 315. There really is no reason we should be dependent on coal. So this is Air Olympia, and Air Olympia on TOA 106.5 low power community FM in Olympia, Washington. And y'all might be wondering, what exactly is the purpose of Air Olympia? What exactly is Air Olympia all about? Are y'all just a bunch of kids yelling about stuff, trying to piss me off? What's your deal? What's your deal? What purpose does a news and analysis show like Air Olympia serve to the community and serve to the betterment of humankind? Well, lucky for us, assassinated President of the United States, John F. Kennedy, wrote Air Olympia a pretty good mission statement in one of his speeches about secret societies. And here it is.
The very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society. And we are, as a people, inherently and historically opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths, and to secret proceedings. We decided long ago that the dangers of excessive and unwarranted concealment of pertinent facts far outweighed the dangers which are cited to justify it. Even today, there is little value in opposing the threat of a closed society by imitating its arbitrary restrictions. Even today, there is little value in ensuring the survival of our nation if our traditions do not survive with it. And there is very grave danger that an announced need for increased security will be seized upon by those anxious to expand its meaning to the very limits of official censorship and concealment. That I do not intend to permit to the extent that it's in my control. And no official of my administration, whether his rank is high or low, civilian or military, should interpret my words here tonight as an excuse to censor the news, to stifle dissent, to cover up our mistakes, or to withhold from the press and the public the facts they deserve to know. For we are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies primarily on covert means for expanding its sphere of influence, on infiltration instead of invasion, on subversion instead of elections, on intimidation instead of free choice, on guerrillas by night instead of armies by day. It is a system which has conscripted vast human and material resources into the building of a tightly knit, highly efficient machine that combines military, diplomatic, intelligence, economic, scientific, and political operations. Its preparations are concealed, not published. Its mistakes are buried, not headlined. Its dissenters are silenced, not praised. No expenditure is questioned, no rumor is printed, no secret is revealed. No president should fear public scrutiny of his program, for from that scrutiny comes understanding, and from that understanding comes support or opposition, and both are necessary. I am not asking your newspapers to support an administration, but I am asking your help in the tremendous task of informing and alerting the American people, for I have complete confidence and the response and dedication of our citizens whenever they are fully informed. I not only could not stifle controversy among your readers, I welcome it. This administration intends to be candid about its errors, for as a wise man once said, an error doesn't become a mistake until you refuse to correct it. We intend to accept full responsibility for our errors, and we expect you to point them out when we miss them. Without debate, without criticism, no administration and no country can succeed, and no republic can survive. That is why the Athenian lawmaker Solon decreed it a crime for any citizen to shrink from controversy. And that is why our press was protected by the First Amendment, the only business in America specifically protected by the Constitution, not primarily to amuse and entertain, not to emphasize the trivial and the sentimental, not to simply give the public what it wants, but to inform, to arouse, to reflect, to state our dangers and our opportunities, to indicate our crises and our choices, to lead, mold, educate, and sometimes even anger public opinion. This means greater coverage and analysis of international news, for it is no longer far away and foreign, but close at hand and local. It means greater attention to improved understanding of the news, as well as improved transmission. And it means, finally, that government at all levels must meet its obligation to provide you with the fullest possible information outside the narrowest limits of national security. And so it is to the printing press, to the recorder of man's deeds, the keeper of his conscience, the courier of his news, that we look for strength and assistance, confident that with your help, man will be what he was born to be, free and independent.
That's right. The humans will be what we were born to be, free and independent and creative. And, you know, JFK said it. I didn't say it. But what he said was, we are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies on covert means for expanding its sphere of influence. And amid all that stuff, he gave a pretty good mission statement and outlined the function that the free press serves in a society like our own, in a modern society. And he says, let's see, what does he say? It is our duty to inform, to arouse, to reflect, and to state our dangers and our opportunities, to indicate our crisis and our choices, to lead, mold, educate, and sometimes even anger public opinion. And given that he gave that mission statement for a news crew like Air Olympia, and that he gave Air Olympia's mission statement in a speech about secret societies and how secrecy and secret societies are insane and, you know, not really to be tolerated in a free and open society. It seems that he thinks that that approach should be taken to every level of media and should be applied to all subject matter. So basically, if we are to live up to the mission statement that was prepared for us by Mr. John F. Kennedy, may his soul rest in peace, then we have a whole lot of work ahead of us. Johnny Love, what do you think about that?
I think those are some pretty powerful words and makes sense. I'd have to say JFK is really the
only... Speaking to the microphone.
Hello.
There you go.
There you go. I'd have to say that JFK is probably the only president that I have ever had respect for.
You mean you don't have respect for Barack Obama?
No.
But he was going to bring us change. You mean you don't have respect for Bill Clinton?
He's not...
But Bill Clinton got a blowjob and smoked weed.
Okay,
you mean you don't respect... I mean, come on. He plays the saxophone and wears sunglasses on The Simpsons,
He's the one other exception.
Jesus Christ, man.
But I mean, come on. It's Bill Clinton. That's a given. That's something that I don't even need to say. It's Bill Clinton. I mean, come on.
Well, thank you, Mr. Kennedy, for our mission statement, and we hope that we can live up to it well. And so these people, what they're trying to do is they're trying to end coal emissions in the state of Washington. They want us to stop being dependent on coal power for our electricity. And this is entirely a necessary thing. This is something that we need a whole lot, obviously. If you want to get involved with these people, go to coalfreewashington.org or go to or look up the Sierra Club. It's the Sierra Club are the ones who are doing this. But what I say is, and what I say doesn't matter because I'm just me. What I say doesn't reflect the opinion of KOWA or, you know, the wind or anything. But I say that, that plant is right down there in Centralia. I could get on the bus and be there in less than an hour at that plant.
Well, yeah.
And so why do I have to go and get a paper signed and convince someone sitting at a desk up there in a fancy suit that it's a good idea to shut that plant down and that we don't need to depend on coal anymore? When everyone knows that solar panels are better, we here at KOWA know that because we used to power our transmitter on solar panels. And it was more dependable than having to pay the electricity, you know? So, like, I mean, everybody knows that. So why are we having to depend on these people up at the Capitol building to approve of what we know to be true and then do something about it? Why can't we just take the matter into our own hands and go down there and organize a strike?
Well, we could, but the problem is really the only people who would be involved in the strike would be people coming from Olympia, Centralia. I used to live there. Nobody there has the backbone enough to actually join a strike because they'll be like, oh, I heard the police might come and arrest me. People here in Olympia, we wouldn't care.
Well, why don't we make it a really fun strike with a lot of Kool-Aid and stuff?
Kool-Aid?
Yeah. We make it so that they're not afraid. They're not afraid because we just make it really fun.
Offer pie and punch, right?
Yeah. Well, no, we'll have Kool-Aid and hula hoops. Yeah. And we'll just take it. We'll just take it from there and see how the strike turns out. So we're gonna be back with more of that after this song right here. Let's organize a hula hoop and Kool-Aid party at the Trans Alta plant down in Centralia. So that way we can stop getting 20% of our state's electricity from coal, so we can stop pumping these disgusting fumes up into the atmosphere, so we can stop embarrassing America all over the world by polluting the air more than any other country in the world, and almost, you know, and I don't know the exact statistic. I don't want anybody to call in and say, no, there's one ahead, but we're one of the main ones that do that. And this state is supposedly the most progressive, and everybody's all liberal and earth friendly and do to do. But you know what? There's a plant right down there in Centralia, and it's powered by people. You know, it has a door that you can walk into, and it's just sitting there pumping all that stuff out into the air. So plug it into a MapQuest. It's the TransAlta plant down in Centralia. And if you don't want to be that crazy and radical about it and go have a Kool-Aid party down there, then type in tollfreewashington.org into a web browser and get involved with them. And let's try and stop that. And here's to Kool-Aid and hula hoops.
Thank you. demon in a prison cell. Whole lot of crying and moaning. But they gotta send me the devil may care. The devil wants us alive. Well, they gotta send here the devil may care. The devil wants us
Yeah, that was Meat Draw with The Devil in Our Bones. They got it about right. They got it about right. So, Mr. Henry Noble should be calling in here in just a minute. Let's do some let's do some oming for a minute.
Some oming?
Yeah, is it silly to do that on Air Olympia? Is that allowed on Air? I think it is. I think I'm the one that decides what's allowed on Air Olympia. So let's.
I'm pretty sure
let's,
you are.
Let's
yeah.
let's om for freedom.
Oh
no, let's do freedom.
Freedom.
Let's do another one. Everybody, join in. Everybody around, join in. If you wanna. Join in, feel right ahead. It's free freedom. That was really, really good, man. The power of manifestation, putting that out on the airwaves. You know, let's do it one more time, one more time.
Oh, God.
Here we go. We got to do it in everything in groups of three. Freedom. Nice, nice, nice. Okay, so
very beautiful.
Henry Noble should call in here in just a minute, but what me and Mr. Noble were going to talk about is, you know, a lot of people out there, they want to run around and they want to say, we don't have to work that hard these days, you know, because it's not that bad. We live in the state of Washington and things are cool. I mean, gay marriage is legal, you know. Weed is going to be getting to be legalized, blah, blah, blah.
I love that part.
All these things are so good, you know. We have organic green capitalism and all this. And the United States isn't all that bad, really. You know? It could be worse. So why do you want to freak out about it so much, D? Why do you want to be such an anarchist about everything and have to run around speaking the truth about everything? It's not that bad. Why don't you just sit back and get gay married and smoke your medical marijuana and eat some organic cookies that you paid $5 for downtown? You know? Well, guess what, folks? It is still that bad. And there is still some stuff that needs to be done. Like, let's see. Did you know that Barack Obama is absolutely no different than George W. Bush.
I know.
In any little way whatsoever. Yep. Absolutely no different at all.
It's true.
And you know what one of the ways that he's absolutely no different than George Bush? Well, he's black, you know.
Oh, okay.
That's a huge change. He changed stuff, you know. And okay. So one of the points of this show is to give lessons to people about how to be an activist. This is words of wisdom for the activist community. And here's a bit of wisdom about just being a person in the world. Don't let yourself get fooled into agreeing to things that you didn't know that you were agreeing to. You know? Don't let yourself be hoodwinked by snoots and snidlers or whatever, you know? Most people don't quite understand everything that happens when you consent to something. There's a metaphysical interaction that takes place every time you say, oh, yes, I agree to that, you know? There's a metaphysical action that takes place. And so let's take a look at Barack Obama's campaign, okay? Now, here's what Barack Obama would do. Here's what happened at the rally where everyone was saying revenue. Here's what people generally do. They come out on stage and they say, you know, the war in Iraq is bad. And the fact that people aren't taxing the rich in America is bad. And the fact that our economy is bad, okay, that's bad. And then they say, then they read off statistics and stuff. And they say, everything, all these statistics, it's bad. It's bad. That's Henry. Koa, what's up, man? Hold on, we're on the air right now. Yeah, what's up? Hold on.
Well, talk about surveillance today, I guess, huh?
Yeah. We were just talking about. I was just giving a lesson about how to deal with politicians and their promises. You want to hear? I was just getting into it. You want to hear it?
Sure.
So everybody says that Barack Obama lied to us, and he's not living up to any of his promises. You know. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But Barack Obama, he didn't lie. Because here's what he did. He stood up on stage and he said, our taxation laws in America are not fair. That's not fair. The way that we're going to war in Iraq is not good. That's not good. We need health care in America. Here's all the reasons why it's bad. And then he would read off a mile-long list of statistics about why it's bad. And then he'd say, and I heard this lady in Omaha say this and that about why it's bad. And then he'd cry about that for a minute. And then he'd say, and now what I'm going to do is, I've got a universal health care plan, and I'm going to change U.S. foreign policy, change our health care, our taxes, you know, and I'm going to change our health care plan. And so all he did was say that he was going to change all this stuff. And everybody thought, well, he knows what's bad, and he's saying all the things that are bad, and then he's saying that he's going to change it. This dude, and so when they heard the word change, they envisioned this, you know, like utopian society that Barack Obama was going to bring. And then really, all he said he was going to do was change it. That could mean it's like America being like a piece of crap car that Bush left on the American people's front lawn. And then we get this new, like, and then, you know, this snazzy new mechanic comes up, and he says, I'm going to change it. I'm going to change the car. I'm going to change it. And then everybody, when they hear that, they, like, imagine a working car that's completely functional and runs off of candy or something, or you know, a car. They imagine a working car runs off your unicorn pee or something, you know. And then all that the mechanic does is paint it a different color. And it's still the same piece of crap car. The mechanic lied to you and didn't keep the promise that he made, because all he said he was going to do was change it. Barack Obama has changed U.S. foreign policy. He sent 30,000 troops to Afghanistan. He didn't say that he was not going to do that. He said he was going to change what was – you know what I mean, Henry?
Well, yeah, although I think he did promise health care for everybody.
Yeah.
I think he did promise that. And see, it's not over with that because and maybe you're going to get into this because your mechanic, he hasn't turned the piece piece of crap car into something sweet, but he's saying, oh, there's all these reasons, right? Stick with me and give me your support and we can make this happen.
Yeah, he's probably
people are saying, well, right, isn't that what's happening?
He's probably.
Well, I do. I get these emails from these different groups that say, "Oh, Obama needs our help. Send this email to somebody," and like that.
Yeah, he's holding out on the health care thing so that he can get reelected. If he does too much of what he promised this time around, it'll be harder to reelect him next time around. So he's got to slack off or something. I don't even know.
That's the theory, and that's the theory in Olympia also. And so. I mean, that's not why we put him there, to get elected next time. We put him there to make, not we, I didn't vote for him, but the people who did put him there because he's promising hope and change, and he's not Bush, right?
Well, actually, he's not all that different. The person that we're dealing with is not, you know, it hasn't been Bush, it hasn't been Obama, it wasn't Reagan. It wasn't Nixon, you know. It wasn't any of these people. It is Uncle Sam. And Uncle Sam does pretty much the same stuff no matter what little mask he puts on. And Obama has proven that because, let's see. Pervasive surveillance continuing under Obama. This was written by oldamericancentury.org back in on July 6th of 2009, but I'm sure it's still relevant today. And this says that the Obama administration is continuing to, read and listen to almost all the emails and phone calls that that happen in America that are over Yahoo and corporate service providers. And so it's just really, really crazy that the American public allows themselves to live in this sort of shadow police state and do nothing about it besides, oh, well, if we don't want to have our emails monitored and our phone calls monitored like the Black Panther Party, you know, then we should sign a petition and go and take it to the House legislators or something. I think it's really time that we do something serious or we're going to find ourselves backed into a freaking police state before we know it. And what do you think about that, Henry?
Well, I think you're actually in the mainstream here because I've got a newspaper from the ACLU, American Civil Liberties Union of Washington, and today, the 27th, they're holding a conference on the surveillance society. And they're talking about, one of the things they're talking about is a bill in the legislature that's going to address some of this. And I'll just read you this one paragraph. In Washington, police have monitored and arrested citizens to prevent political demonstrations. Military personnel have infiltrated law-abiding peace groups like the Port Group in Olympia. And agencies have shared personal information via intelligence clearinghouses known as fusion centers with little transparency or accountability. And this is in addition to what you're talking about, that big NSA installation that's just filtering everything we say and all our phone calls too, right? The phone calls out of the country, they're all, I'll say listen to, but of course that's not, they don't like listen to it. They sample it with computers. I think about this when I drive my car and I go to some intersection and they're taking pictures of the cars at the, you know, these automatic cameras are.
Yeah, it's insane.
And there's a big fight now about 520, the bridge across Lake Washington. They want to put tolls on and they want to photograph all the license plates of cars coming across the bridge.
That's crazy.
Oh, it's hard to fight that except by trying to fight to make them not do it. You can mask your license plate, I guess. Nobody wants to not go on the internet. You just figured that they can't look at everybody, right? But then you get did you see about this school in Indiana where they gave all the kids in this class laptops, and the laptops had cameras on them?
No, I didn't hear about that.
So, and one day this kid comes to school. He's, I don't know, maybe 14-year-old, and he gets called up to the principal's office, and the principal says, "We caught you. You've been doing stuff, inappropriate stuff, at home, popping pills." And the kid says, "I don't pop pills." And I said, "Yeah, here's the video of you doing it." And it turned out it was jelly beans or something. And then there was this huge uproar, right, from all the parents. They got these cameras in their homes, right? Who the hell knows what they look at?
See, that's a good lesson for our listeners, is that no matter how hard they try to put up the front of this kind of monolithic, omnipresent, all-powerful, you know, conspiratorial thing, they can't even tell the difference. Even at when they're doing something really sneaky, like spying on little kids, and they give each of them a camera so that they can spy on them efficiently, they can't even tell the difference between jelly beans and pills. So, you know, don't
which
get
is
too...
like the big problem with all of this, right? That whole big surveillance and all those sweeps after 9-1-1. There's like thousands and thousands of just regular people got caught up in these things and detained or deported.
It's crazy. And what they basically want to do is that's their goal. Their goal is to put out this crazy idea that they are all powerful, that they can see and know every little thing that you do, and that they are completely in control, and there's no point in trying to organize anything because they are completely in control, and that's not going to change. And as long as you let them do that, then they've won. But the thing is that if you read Hegel or any sort of objective philosophical analysis of the slave-master relationship, which is what is going on. We are the slaves, and the bourgeoisie are the slave masters. Is that the master is the one who is completely controlled, and whose entire spirit and entire psychic conscious being is completely dominated by the action and the every whim of the slave, because basically the master wakes up, and from the time he goes to bed till the time they go to bed, all they can think about is keeping the slave in line. And they know how to do that. They follow them around. They make them feel intimidated. They use physical force. They do this and that. But the slave is always, always, always a step ahead, because whereas the ways that you stop a slave from getting free are pretty, set in stone, the way that the slave is going to try to get free next is always the thing that can't be determined. And so really, I wanted to try to give our listeners some kind of advice about how to deal with living in a surveillance state and a surveillance society, and how dealing with activist culture as it exists within a heavy surveillance culture, which is what we have in America. And the only kind of advice I can think of that may be effective is just to always remember that we are the ones who are completely in control. And even though they can find out all this information, they can monitor our emails and our phone calls and follow us around, and they will do that if you give them the least bit of reason to think that it's necessary to do that, they will do that. They can't very well use that information, because what are they going to do? If you're a peaceful person and all you're doing is trying to, feed the homeless or something, I don't know, do peaceful good things in the world, then what are they going to do? Go out and admit to the American public that they've arrested this peaceful person who has good intentions for the world based on information that they found and all these crazy, scary means that they're not supposed to be able to do anyway? You know what I mean?
Well, they do that, Dee. They do that. I think a lesson is one of being careful. I think... that military spy with the Port Olympia folks who infiltrated and then got hold of the mailing list. I think groups have to be, groups need to be open and welcoming to people who want to come in and support their cause and work with them, but have to be very careful in something like the mailing list or the the bank account. You got to really know and trust somebody well before you let them get their hands on that. And then on emails, a long time I would tell people, don't put anything in an email that you wouldn't put on a postcard that the postman could read, right? I mean, just or be cryptic, or don't put everything out there. But it seems like more and more stuff is going on the Internet, and a lot of times it's voluntary. You know, I don't quite know the answer to that. 12, 13, 14-year-old young people who used to write a diary maybe and they'd hide it under their mattress at home, they put stuff in Facebook that somebody's going to read right 10 years later.
Yeah, I know. I know. And
That's pretty scary to me, but it doesn't seem to bother a lot of people.
And I have a theory that those sites are kind of designed so that people will do that, you know, to get people feeling comfortable putting every little in, because you got to think, just to keep some of our listeners aware of what's going on, not to necessarily make them paranoid. Like, if you put everything that you do in your Facebook, let's say that you write to your boyfriend or your girlfriend about every little thing that you do on your Facebook or your Twitter or your MySpace. Then that means that should the federal government decide to follow you anywhere, or maybe if you already do give them reason to follow you everywhere, they know basically every detail about your personal life, including your moods and everything, that they can then use, that they can then give to psychologists who can build personality profiles of you. All this is a reality. I mean, the American government believes itself to be constantly in defense of civil dissent. And the reason that they believe themselves rightly to be constantly in defense of that is because they are a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that is around the world trying to enslave everyone for their avaricious ends, you know, and they are constantly rightly in fear that somebody's going to find out about that and then rise up and stop them from doing it. And so they employ every single means that they possibly can. They will like find out your mood, and they will write personality profiles of you, and they will do weird stuff to disrupt your social habits. And I mean, they will do these sort of crazy things. But what people have to remember is that we are the ones who are in control, because that's who they're having to study. We're not going around, we as activists are not going around studying them and worrying about what they're doing. So obviously they're giving us way more energy than we're giving them in the first place. And
we've got power in other ways in addition, that it's us who do the work. And all the money that's made by all the people who are pulling the strings comes ultimately from us. I mean, that's why I think that people organizing into unions and people being able to withhold their work would really stop things. I think that we need to take back control of society, and I think a way to do that is by building a movement. That's what worked in other places. That's always what works, is because there are so many more of us.
And we have to be smart. We have to take tips from organizations that have worked in the past, like, you know, the Black Panthers and other organizations. And it's, I think right now is the time to come together and to realize that we don't have to live in fear, because they are the ones who are in fear of us to begin with. And that's how it got so... That's how it got so crazy to begin with. And fear gets fear. And so if we are afraid of them because they're afraid of us, then all we're going to do is act fearful, which will make them more fearful. So we should probably just show love. But I think it's about time to – I think we gotta move along, Henry.
Okie doke.
Thanks for calling in, brother.
Okay. Can I just put the name of a book out here? It's called Revolutionary Integration, published by Red Letter Press. And it's got a really good discussion of the Southern police state in the civil rights period and how people fought against it.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome.
Okay,
everybody
we'll
check that out.
Talk to you next week, D.
All right, thanks, man. See you later. And a good friend of ours who stopped by Media Island over the last week from Quebec had some really awesome insights about what we need to do to come together. And she is from another community radio station, Anarchist Feminist News Zine up in Quebec. And she had some words to say about anarchy and feminism in Olympia.
It is Thursday, February 25th, and this is Dee with Air Olympia, and I am here with Evie from
Esquatel.
And she's going to tell about what's going on with anarchy and feminism in Quebec.
Yeah, right there. Well, Esquatel is an anarchist and feminist radio show in a community radio station in Quebec City. So mostly we cover some international and local news, some news from the resistance, and with a kind of feminist lens on the actuality. So that's almost it. I sent back them some report from here. I just went to Vancouver 2010 protest against the Olympics, and I talked about it on my radio show too. So yeah, in Quebec City, it's a very small community, and well, activists are organizing around different issues. Right now there is an uprise in the student movement because they want, as here, they want to raise student tuitions fees, and yeah, people are organizing against that. On the feminist part of Quebec City, there will be feminist study conferences and things like that in 2 weeks. I don't know what you want to tell you otherwise with my poor English and strong French accent.
That's fine. I think that the people out there can decipher it just fine. But I was just wondering, how do you think Olympia can better embody, from what you've seen in Olympia so far, how do you think that we can better embody some anarchist and feminist ideals and help make our community an example to the rest of the world for how to live sustainably and harmoniously with each other and with our planet?
I didn't meet a lot of women yet while walking in Olympia. I don't know.
Speak right into it.
Okay, like this. So I'm eager to meet some women here in Olympia to ask them how the power relationships are going into your groups. I don't know at all about it. I know that the people I met were, were thinking about organization and thinking about how to be more efficient, and I think that is real good. But on the West Coast in general, I believe that everybody think that everything is all right, and we don't have to organize precisely. We don't have to have like mission statement and or specific way to take decisions. And if we want to take decisions by consensus, everything will be all right. There will be no conflicts. But I'm not sure actually that doesn't hide some power relation between people. So I would like to learn more about it, and I will ask people around while I'm here in Olympia how things are going.
My theory is that here in Olympia and on the west coast of the United States, we are kind of spoiled because we are removed from the more conservative, racist, misogynist, old world kind of ways of the East Coast, and we do have a whole lot more equality. We've kind of made ourselves believe anyway that racism and sexism isn't an issue anymore. You know, we're moving toward the decriminalization of marijuana, and you know, we have gay marriage and all that, so everything must be okay. We must be able to give up the fight and just pretend like everything's chill or whatever, when the fact of the matter is that the Canadian government, which is very ideologically similar, you know, pretty much the same governing hand as the United States government is forcing indigenous people off of unsurrendered lands just so they can build a big tourist trap. And the United States government and European monarchic powers, and along with the Canadian government and the you know, the ruling classes in South America, are basically pooling all their funds together to fly around the world and try and enslave everyone. It's all, you know, not only directly related to us sitting over here and feeling like everything's okay and we don't have to worry about it anymore, but all of that is the reason that we are able to sit over here and feel like we don't have to worry about it anymore. So I think that people on the West Coast of America really need to kind of reevaluate what comforts allow them to feel like they don't have to work hard anymore. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. When everything seems to be all right, that's worse. You know, in Canada, we got this conservative government for a while, and like now we realize that we have to fight, you know, because like before it was not that obvious. So sometimes when things are going worse, that's the better time to, you know, organize and fight back.
What do you think? Because we have this sort of ongoing debate on Air Olympia, which is, should we be really liberal and should we get petitions signed and try to get bills passed and all this, or should we be totally radical and go and be like, these are our means of production and take them back by any means necessary, or is there some sort of middle way, or what do you think is the next step that we can make in the direction we want to go in, which is a direction toward world peace?
Great question. I don't know actually what's the mood in Olympia. I'm sure that you could find your own answers, but it's sure that myself, I'm pro organizing, like do something, not just stay on your own doing your lifestyle and your personal projects. But yeah, I don't know, I will not tell people what to do next. I don't know, I don't like to tell people what to do in general, but hopefully you could use that comfort, that position of relative equality, relative sustainability, to go further.
Well, I'm going to admit something about myself, and that is that I do kind of like to tell people what to do. So I'm going to say that everyone should network and organize. It might not be the time to necessarily use all of our resources to the best of their ability, but it is the time to take a good look around and figure out what resources that we have. And it's good to know that the activist and anarchist community here in Olympia has some friends up in Quebec.
Yeah, for sure. That's what I'm doing while traveling. I'm trying to network. So, yeah, that's the beginning of something larger. And, yeah.
Well, this is Dee from Air.
Yep. We'll see y'all tomorrow from 3 to 4 on Air Olympia. Thank you for listening to Air Olympia, anarchist news and analysis from Olympia, Washington, Cascadia, on KOWA Low Power Community FM 106.5, serving the Cascadian Underground here in Olympia, Washington. And, you know, all y'all in all your endeavors, be brave, be fearless, be courageous, be compassionate, be strong, be smart, but be safe, and bless you. Have a good weekend. Don't forget that.
Fire,
don't forget to make
in
it fun.
A circle of light. Come together, come to sing, come to this night. Come on, sisters, come on, brothers, climb on board and hang on tight. We're taking flight in a circle of light. In a circle of light, in a circle of peace. You can lay your burdens down and be released. Every heart is hungry, come on, welcome to the feast of harmonies. In a circle of peace. In a circle of peace, in a circle of friends. Leave your troubles at the door and start again. No more whispering in the shadows, come on, join the angel band and lend a hand. In a circle of friends. In a circle of friends.
In a circle of friends.
In a circle of song.
In a circle of song.
And every sparrow sing along. If they told you to be silent, you could show them they were wrong. It'll make you strong.
It'll make you strong.
In a circle of song.
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 In a circle of fire.
In a circle of fire.
Catch the spark that sets you blazing with desire. Every voice can move a mountain. Every breath can be a choir. And we'll conspire.
And we'll conspire.
In a circle of fire.
In a circle of fire.
Circle of light. Come together, come to sing, come to this night. Let it echo in the valley, let it ring from the mountain height.
We're taking flight
in a circle of light.
In a circle of light.
Gonna set things right.
Gonna set things right.
In a circle of light.
In a circle of light.
Gonna sing all night.
Gonna sing all night.
In a circle of light.